This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It is. Sorry, I was... Mike Florio was asking Aiden Hutchinson about the Lions uniforms from the other day. And Aiden Hutchinson got on Florio for being an old, boring guy. And I'm not going to lie, I was enthralled. I think we should be calling out bad takes even when they're about uniforms.
Wait. So he went at the media and you're okay with it?
Yeah, I don't know why you think that I'm going to defend every person who has a microphone or a pencil. Some people are bad
history?
At it. Some people are bad at it. No, what
have
I
you
am
listened a, to this show. Have
what
it,
I
ever.
Not wait. What I am against. What I am against.
Ooh, he
is
pointed
when,
his finger. By
yes,
the way.
I did. I did a full finger whack. Ooh. The full Dikembe Mutombo. What I'm against. I forgot to do the damn thing again.
No, I had it down because
no,
you were...
I didn't flip it back over to my regular channel. What I get mad about is when people lump the media together as one thing and don't distinguish that everybody in the media is a separate entity that acts a different way.
Well, we're basically just talking about sports media, and they all act the same exact way. Every single one of those people.
No, you're one of them, bud. I'm sorry to remind you once again, you're the sports media, pal. You're one of those people. Hey, you know who's not, but is going to be on the sports media? Well, actually, I mean, he is, actually. My man Kevin, on the phone.
Your transitions, they're just not good
I'm
today.
I'm not going to lie, dude. I'm getting my ass kicked today, all right? I think the vacation fuzz has like settled in now.
No, it's no electricity. Come on.
Oh, that's a huge part of it.
Because I am fighting every moment going, push button, hand, move,
yeah.
Push button.
It's
say a full sentence.
It's a little bit of that. It's a little bit of that. And it's also the fact that, you know, I was gone for a week and a half. I come back. Like, there's a week and a half it takes to run through. But now we're 3 days in. Like, now we're getting back into the regular ebb and flow of the show a little bit. And I haven't fully recovered. Let's see if Kev can bail me out a little bit here. Kev, what's up, big dog?
Man, hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
I'm good, brother. How you been?
Nice to meet you new guys, man.
Yeah, no, it's our pleasure, brother. We're glad to be here. It's good to be settling into our new role here at the Fan Upstate. Right.
I get it, man. I tell y'all what, y'all in a nice place, man. Good to have y'all here, man. I ain't no... Hey, man, let me tell y'all something, man. Don't leave no more, man. If you leave, just send me something to just listen to something. Y'all say something. Like, well, if you need a substitute teacher, just let me come sit in. I feel like I'm a little bro, so I can just come sit in for the big bros. Why y'all gone, man? Just hold it down.
Listen, I need you to know, Kev, I was going to do the show down from St. Augustine during wedding week. The fiancé turned wife.
Yeah. Going to punch in your nose.
Yeah. So listen, on Saturday, I actually, from the back porch at the house we got married at, I jumped on my Saturday show for like 15 minutes, right? I was like, she's getting ready. I got nothing to do. I'm already suited up, right? Like, I'm just killing time. Let me jump on the show with the boys, and I'm on the air. And when I get off the air, one of her friends comes around the corner, Kev, looks at me in the face and goes, "What are you doing?" And I was like, I'm not doing anything. I got on the air to talk about baseball for 15 minutes. And she, the friend, who I'm friends with now too, but she looks me dead in the face, Kevin, and she goes, "You're an idiot." And I realize, yeah.
Kevin, that's not why he did it. He's been talking about how good he looks in the suit, and he wanted everyone to see it. That's why he did it.
For the record, I did, and they did.
Yeah. Hey, man, keep it funky with us, man. You want everybody to see how good you're looking. You're down to 112 pounds, man. So, hey, I want people to see me, too. I really would.
The people want to see me, Kevin. That's what it comes down to.
I'm going to check you out. I want to see you. You done turned in Pretty Boy Floyd on it. So, I might check you out on this picture, too, man.
All right, what you got for us, big dog?
Hey, man, my Tar Heels, my Green Bay Packers, and even my high school team is having a bad year this year, man. We all trying to figure it out.
Your Packers. Let me ask you about that.
Right.
Was it just the last five games of Jordan Love that had y'all convinced this? Because I got to tell you, man, like the Packers are going to make me a bunch of money this year because them and the Dallas Cowboys, I bet the under win total on both, and I'm feeling real good about it. What had you sold that the Packers were going to be like a playoff team all of a sudden in a division with the Detroit Lions who are good?
Because the way we finished that, we figured we'd just keep it rolling, but then you get a couple of injuries hit and other things got to happen, but I still don't feel like we got it to get over the top right now. Even Minnesota looking good right now. So,
That's because they got future first ballot Hall of Famer Sam Darnold at quarterback, Kev.
Sam Darnold just coming out the woodworks on him.
We're going to talk about that in a minute because Aaron Rodgers had something to say about it on McAfee's show yesterday, but talking about Sam Darnold and some of these other quarterbacks that are having a resurgence in their career. But no, man, I got a soft spot for the Packers. Any team with a cheese theme, I'm all on board with. All right. I just didn't see it this year, man. I think you're close. Let me be abundantly clear. I think the Packers are close to being a good team. I know that with the addition of Josh Jacobs, there was a lot of excitement, but this ain't 2022 Josh Jacobs, right? Like, this isn't the cat that led the NFL in rushing a couple of years ago. And after that, is Romeo Doubs the guy that you think is carrying you to the promised land? Because I'm looking at the rest of everybody who's not Josh Jacobs and going, where's the threat, man? I don't see it.
We don't have it. We don't have it. We're gonna have to make a trade. You do something different. Devontae wanted.
I heard there's a. I heard there's a wide receiver available down in Vegas. Y'all might have heard of.
He just went on, got on stage the other day talking about, I hadn't said this and I hadn't said that. Now it's all of a sudden out on the table. Hey man, keep it funky, man. Just say what you say. If you're gonna say it, stand on it.
Here's my favorite thing, and I mean this. I was thinking about this. I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin. I was thinking about this when we talked about it earlier in the show. I haven't heard Davante Adams say he wants a trade. This is the Raiders that came out and said, we're willing to trade him. I don't know that Davante has asked for or wants a trade. I think the Raiders are just sick of the bull on the sidelines, dude.
Yeah. You're not going to keep trying to put the team on above. You're going to put yourself above the team and got little shenanigans going on. Guess what? You might as well start getting your locker together and go ahead and start, pants down the middle, jerseys to the left, helmet on the side.
I mean, he's
go ahead and hang it up.
Now we just all hang in there and hope he doesn't become a chief. Kev, good to have you, big dog. Appreciate you.
Hey man, y'all fellas hold it down, man. And hey man, stay there, man.
I mean, I burned all my vacation days, Kevin.
He doesn't have any more days.
Yeah. At this point, I'm not allowed to go anywhere else. I'm just locked in. Appreciate it, big dog. Good to talk to you. That's the fun thing about this Davante story is, has Davante said that he wants a trade? Because I don't think Davante said he wants a trade. What it sounded like to me is that effectively the Raiders are kind of sick of the attitude on the sideline, which don't get me wrong, I understand. But Davante Adams came to Vegas when Derek Carr was still there. That's future first ballot Hall of Famer Derek Carr to you. When Derek Carr was still there, Davante believed he was going to be playing with Derek Carr, a guy that he had a previously established good relationship with. This was at a point in time where it looked like the Raiders were kind of trending on the upward trajectory, and they've done nothing but backslide since then. They've shed talent, right? They've done nothing but backslide at this point. And, by the way, your starting quarterback possibilities for Davante Adams were Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. The only point that I'm making here is, yes, there are probably more constructive ways to show your frustration if you're Davante Adams than to go running off on the sideline, slamming your helmet into the bench, and having to be restrained by your teammates and all that. Like, that's not unfair. There are more constructive ways to get it across that you are frustrated with the direction of the team, as, again, I would be as well. Cody Decker is a Raiders guy. He's beyond frustrated right now. It's understandable. But there are more constructive ways of handling yourself than the way that Davante Adams has done it. And I think, though I could be wrong, I'm usually not, I think that this is largely the Raiders deciding that they're done with Davante, not Davante deciding he's done with the Raiders. However, I'm not going to beat Davante Adams up for this, man. I'm not. The guy had a good chunk of his prime wasted in his final couple of years in Green Bay. He goes over to Vegas. He's having his prime wasted further by the Raiders, who knew that they needed to do something about the quarterback position this offseason, and they didn't. They said Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell are the guys that we trust in this situation. That's not good enough. It's just not. So, like, I know the easy thing to do today is to pile on to Davante Adams. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pile onto Davante because I think his concerns are warranted. I think his frustration is warranted. There's a reason Aaron Rodgers wanted out at Green Bay. It's very much connected to the reason that Davante Adams wanted out of Green Bay. And the reason he wanted out of Green Bay is the same reason that he's so damn frustrated right now with the Raiders. They knew what the problem was. They knew where they needed to make a move. They knew the spot that they found themselves in and how to address it, and they just didn't. I think the Raiders got to a point where they gave Antonio Pierce the head coaching job. The team loved it, right? And they went, okay, good vibes. I think there's a lot of, and I've worked places like this before. There's a lot of places, work environments, where the office will think that if they give you good vibes for a day, everything else is fixed. Everything else is great. This is, you know what the online joke has been for years is how at a point in time where workplace morale is at an all-time low, you will inevitably find a pizza party, right? Like, that's the internet meme. That's the joke. Hey, everybody, thanks for coming in for overtime, even though we didn't approve any overtime pay. Thanks for working for less money. I know everything is struggling right now, and we know it's a big ask of you guys to keep it 100. So here's a pizza party. I was laughing the other day. That meme came to real life down in Tampa when Hurricane Helene was taking aim at Tampa Bay. It was actually west of Tampa, but the eastern side of the storm is the worst, and that was going to go right over Tampa. And I'm not going to say the name of it, but there was a particular grocery store that is the most popular grocery store in Florida. There is a particular grocery store down in Florida that sent out a corporate memo that basically said, we're keeping our stores open all the way up until the storm gets there, right? And so if you worked for this store, if you wanted to keep your job, you had to go to work, which meant that not only could you not leave if you felt that that was the right course of action, not only could you not leave, but you couldn't even stay home and hurricane prep your own home. You had to go to the store. And there was a bunch of guys that went online and posted that when they got to work, a job that they could not leave, can't afford to leave the job, but when they got to work, which meant that they could not hurricane prep their own homes, the managers basically were like, we're going to hold you here until the storm hits, then we'll let you go. You know, when you can't go out there anymore, then we'll let you go. And to thank you for all of that, here's pizza. And the best part, great one, was they went and they got for a grocery store's amount of people that were working there, they went and got one pizza from one of the cheap fast pizza to go chains. And they thought that everybody there was just going to be super thrilled about this. Like they were all going to be fine because they got one pizza for the whole store from one of the $5 for a large pizza joints.
Sorry, I think you just gave that away. I worked at grocery stores for like the first 5 or 6 years of me trying to figure out what I was going to do. This sounds normal to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's what grocery stores do.
But like I said yesterday, there is a, like it or not, there is a societal movement to get better treatment for employees. And I'll tell you, look at what the Raiders have done and look at what the Packers did. I actually do not fault Devontae Adams for being upset about the situation. I would be too. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute from right now. Audio Blitz got a couple of bits of sound, our favorite sound from the last couple of days of social media, and we'll play those for you and react to them next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
All right. Real good, Corey LaJoy. Thank you very much. Nailed it. Absolutely stuck the landing on that one. Audio Blitz, some of the best audio that we have found on social media over the past couple of days, and there is no question which one it is that I want to start with. Ladies and gentlemen, the Indiana Hoosiers are 5-0. It is the first time they have been 5-0 since the early 1990s.
It's not basketball season yet.
It is not. This is the Indiana Hoosier football team that has begun 5-0. They have a new head coach. Their new head coach is named Kurt Cignetti. Kurt Cignetti came over to Indiana from James Madison University. He has coached at some big schools as well. From 2007 to 10, he was the wide receivers coach at Alabama. He was the QB and tight ends coach at NC State from 2000 to 2006. He spent 7 seasons at Pitt as the quarterbacks and tight ends coach. He's been around just a little bit. Kurt Cignetti was asked a question by the media, and he dropped one of the hardest lines I have ever heard a coach drop, to the point that I was ready to throw on the Riddle helmet and run through a wall for the man myself.
Them, you know, how do you sell?
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I set all of that up that way. Kurt Cignetti, tell him about it. Dog. Bro. That is the ice coldest line I have ever heard of. Google me.
Kind of a big deal.
Google me. Hey, coach, how do you convince guys that you're for real? It's pretty simple. I win. Google me. Like, you know what? That needed one more little, it needed one more little garnish on top. The best way to phrase that would have been if he would have dropped, "It's real simple. I win. Google me." That's it. That's the only way that gets better, if he just outright calls the guy up to end the sentence. "I win. Google me, you." Would have gone so hard in the paint. That's pretty spectacular. I Lonzo, as of this moment in time, I officially, this show is a Kurt Cignetti fan club now. We're all in with Kurt at this point.
Well, normally you don't speak for me, but I'm down with this.
Yeah, we all are.
Well, that's what this show does. See, I need to look this. Was this a visible press?
Oh, yeah.
There's video.
Oh, he said it to the man's face.
No, because I want to see the look on his face while he's doing it.
Oh, he's got the this look.
Oh, he's been over the podium.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Google me, you. Like, it's so good. So good. All right. Let's get some more stuff in here.
Did the punk shut up and sit down?
I don't know, because the camera was on him, but it was pretty great. You know what else is pretty great? A new guy that I'm on board with alongside Kurt Cignetti is Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia. Vandy lost to Mizzou this weekend. Heartbreaking loss. Felt like Vandy for a minute there was going to go get a dub over a top 10 team. The doors kind of feel a little different this year to me. Maybe it's just me. The doors feel like they got a little oomph to him. And part of that, I think, is because of Diego Pavia. He was asked about that loss and how, if you are the Vanderbilt Commodores, how do you roll that loss into next week? He said this. If you're down about this, that's incredible. That's beyond. I love that. If you are down about this, you ain't. With the chest. Incredible. I love that. Matt Moscona is a host on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He was talking about the Alabama-Georgia game. Now, as a dude who preseason picked Alabama not just to win the Southeastern Conference, but to ultimately appear in the Southeastern Conference championship game, I was very pleased with the outcome of Alabama versus Georgia, because I think it proved both of my takes correct. My take was, I think Georgia's coming back to earth this year, and my take was that I think Bama's about to shock y'all because they ain't done gone nowhere. All right? They ain't done gone nowhere. Well, while I was happy about the outcome, I was not thrilled about the fact that Georgia was down 28-0 at the half and still came back to make it a one-score game. Matt Moscona says, if you're up on Bama, Rob Brown, slow your roll and there's a reason for it. Okay. So I got a couple responses to that. Number one, he ain't wrong. He ain't wrong. We would be talking about the fact that the University of Alabama has replaced the Atlanta Falcons as the easiest and go-to illustration of choke in football history. If Alabama blows a 28-0 halftime lead, it would have shined so much brighter than Atlanta choking away a 28-3 halftime lead in a Super Bowl. But here's the thing. They didn't. They didn't do that. They won the game, right? And you can go, oh, it's only because Ryan Williams did something spectacular. Correct. Do you know why Ryan Williams is there? Kalen DeBoer. He's there because of Kalen DeBoer, right? That's a tool in the tool chest. How many football games are won by a spectacular play somewhere in the game? It just so happened to be that that one was in the dying breath of the game. It just so happened to be that that one was in the final few minutes of the game. If Ryan Williams does that in the first half and they win the game, what are you going to say then? Right? Like, yes. But I, as much as Bama was up 28-0 and you would have liked to have them to give themselves to keep some breathing room late in the game, I think it's important to remember that's still Georgia. That's still a real good football team. I don't think they're as good as they were last year or the year before that, but they're still a real good football team, and Bama finished the job. It wasn't pretty, but how many football wins are pretty football wins? Very few. All right, last one. Aaron Rodgers was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday. They said, yo, look around the league right now. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, all these guys having these resurgences at quarterback. And Aaron Rodgers said, doesn't surprise me all that much when you look at how development works. Of course, Peyton Manning famously went out there and threw more interceptions as a rookie than anybody else ever. And then turned out pretty good. Pretty good. Point here is twofold. Number one, Rob Brown was right about Jaden Daniels. You're all welcome.
So far.
Yeah, I mean, so far, it ain't a debate. The dude is the best rookie quarterback in football right now. I would argue he's the best quarterback who's been playing for 3 years or less in football right now. All that being said, I think that when people see a Jaden Daniels or a C.J. Stroud, I'll put him in that group.
I was going to say, you just said he was better than C.J. Stroud.
Oh, I think he is better than C.J. Stroud. I think he is doing... Slow it, mister. I think he is. But whether or not that is correct, what I am going to say is I think people see C.J. Stroud and they see Jaden Daniels and they just assume that's what rookie quarterbacks should do. And here's Aaron Rodgers, a dude I'm not a fan of. Here's Aaron Rodgers echoing something that I have been saying to you all for as long as you've been listening to me. Quarterback development is a multi-year process. It's not a thing that just happens. Playing in the NFL at the quarterback thing is one of the hardest things in the world to do. And so the expectation guys are just going to show up and be good. The point here is give Bryce Young some time, please. Stop rushing guys to their NFL career deaths.
You went all that way just for that.
Please stop rushing rookie quarterbacks to their career deaths. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Got another bit of audio I want to play for you. Didn't put this one in the blitz, though, because I think it's worthy of its own conversation as a whole. Ross Dellinger and Pat Forty were speaking about the SEC Big Ten meetings that are taking place. And I guess the reason I bring this up is because, stop it, I'm not ready for you, Ross. Relax, Ross. All right, calm down. I'll tell you.
It's okay. I get blamed for every misstep.
That's on me.
It's on me.
All right. So Ross and Pat Forty, Ross Dellinger, Pat Forty, Yahoo Sports, we're talking about the meetings taking place. And the backdrop of these meetings is very simple. The SEC and the Big Ten's athletic directors are meeting in Nashville, Tennessee this week. And what they are meeting over is a potential partnership, although I don't want to call it a partnership because it's not like an official partnership, more coordination and cooperation between these two conferences. They are talking about two primary topics. One of them is scheduling cooperation between the two. That is to say, both regular season and creating their own system, potentially, of postseason bowl games that only they would be invited to. But a lot of it has to do with getting regular season games set up. And the thought process there, to me, although they're going to dress it up as, well, we think if we create this system of Big Ten versus SEC games, we will be providing America with the best football Saturdays possible. And for the record, they're not wrong. They're not wrong. But what it really comes down to is, if they start creating a world where SEC and Big Ten teams are playing each other, you know who they're not playing? The ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-2 / soon to be 4 / maybe 6. They're not playing the Mountain West. They're not playing the other conferences. And that means those other conferences are not playing as many nationally televised football games, which means that more of the money ends up with the SEC and the Big Ten. So Ross and Pat Forty were talking about it, and I pulled a short clip. It's about a minute long out of about an 8-minute conversation they had, but I think it hits the meat and taters of the conversation. Yeah. Yeah. Who's surprised? Show of hands. Who's surprised by this? Like, I saw this story start making the rounds on social media. Oh, the Big Ten and the SEC are meeting, and they're in cahoots with each other. They're trying to figure out how it is that they can start doing more to get more. My fellow Americans, been this way for a minute, okay? And is Ross down? See, what's happened is over the past year, since the Florida State playoff debacle, when I said, guys, there is a reason that I am justifiably angry with, as much as I like him. I do. I like him as a TV guy, and I like him as a guy, Kirk Herbstreit. I like Kirk Herbstreit. I'm gonna go humble brag here. I've hung out with Kirk Herbstreit. He came down and did the keynote address for the All Sports Association, which was a philanthropic group that I was a big part of down in Destin, Fort Walton Beach, Pensacola, Florida. And Herbie came down and did a keynote address at a time where my role within that organization was public relations, talent relations, etc. They said basically anytime we're going to organize, you know, somebody to come in here and give a speech or whatever, Rob Brown, you're the guy that does all the communications with their camp. When they show up in town, you're the one that makes sure that it gets advertised correctly, and you're the one that hangs out with that person until it's time for them to go on the podium and talk into a microphone. I've hung out with Kirk. He's a good person. He's a good guy. All the stuff you see about him and Ben, his dog, and them doing these, that's all legit. He's a good dude. But this is why I got upset at Kirk and the rest of the game day crew last year at the end of the year. And I said, Clemson fans, you should feel this way too. Because while I understand it's happening to a rival of yours, that just means it can happen to you. If you don't think we could end up in a situation where Clemson has a real good year in the ACC, but gets dumped out of a playoff spot in order to fit an SEC or a Big Ten now and or Big Ten team in, that has like one more loss than you, that precedent is now established, right? And my whole take was when Kirk Herbstreit and the gang went from one day, yeah, Florida State's undefeated and winning the conference, they should absolutely get in, to, well, you know, without their quarterbacks. No. The reason all of that went that way was very simple. Alabama was going to put more eyeballs on the TV set and was therefore we're going to make them more money. And now here is Ross Dellinger. And I will say about Ross Dellinger, who I'm a fan of as well. Dellinger's not a hot take machine. He's a pretty, honestly, pretty vanilla guy. Like he's good at getting the news. Listen to this man talk. He's stop. Okay. All right, Ross, we got it. Stop. Point is, he's a pretty vanilla guy. He's not really a hot take machine. He's just very good at getting information and organizing thought. And now here he is saying ESPN has power. ESPN has control. The SEC and the Big Ten have control. This is why I've said for a while, college football, as you know it, is cooked. And everybody wants to say, oh, it's NIL, it's transfer. No, it's not. No, it's not. It is because of the fact that unchecked capitalism by default leads to monopoly. Unchecked capitalism by default leads to a system where one or two entities have all of the power and the control. And so back in the day, when there was a point in time where the power should have been collected by and assembled by the NCAA, it was allowed to fall into the hands of the SEC and the Big Ten. And as Ross Dellinger pointed out, why? Because they threatened to leave. And the NCAA got scared. And we're like, okay, whatever you guys want. Whatever you want. That's why everything seems to break their way. Because they keep going, well, if you don't let us have our way, we're going to leave. And the NCAA goes, okay, we're gonna let you have your way. But just this once. Don't ask for anything else. I'm not alone in what I've been saying about this. Like I said, the reason I bring it up is not because these two dudes, Dellinger and 40, again, both of whom I like, they didn't say anything in this clip that I have not been saying to you people for years. For years, I've been saying this. We are going to end up in a world where there are two college footballs. There is the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference over here, and then everybody else over there. There's going to be the SEC and the Big Ten and all their blue bloods that have this college football organization over here, and then everybody that's left out is going to be over here. All the Mountain West teams, all the FCS teams. There's going to be, one day, I firmly believe, a new NCAA for everybody who's not invited to the Big Ten or the Southeastern Conference's dance. This is why I have half jokingly said that the 12-team playoff, as far as I am concerned, is the SEC Big Ten Invitational. Because in these meetings they're having, it's not just about coordinating regular season scheduling, which they absolutely are. It's not just about coordinating regular season scheduling so that they can begin removing national television appearances from everybody who's not in their cool kids club. They're also putting together a plan to demand that the College Football Playoff Selection Committee give them 8 of the 12 at-large bids. 8 of them. 8, get 4 to the SEC, 4 to the Big Ten, guaranteed. The rest of the country as a whole, and this includes you, Clemson, the rest of the country as a whole will fight over the remaining 4. Now, we all believe they're going to 16 teams in 2026, right? We're all on board with that. That's definitely happening.
I don't know that for sure. I think they've got to see how effective this is I think it would have to be a couple more years before they would do that.
So the current contract is in place through 2025. So you get effectively, if they don't decide to break it and go a different direction, 2 years of a 12-team playoff. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, the 12-team playoff audiences for at least the semifinals and finals are going to be the most watched college football games of all time. Book that right now. You can write it down. Hold me to it today. It's going to go through the roof, and they're going to go, okay, we expand to 16. And then, while I still don't love that the Big Ten and the SEC would automatically get half of the field comes from two conferences. The other half is split between everybody else. I don't love it. But they're going to get it. And they're going to get it because, especially if they mandate regular season scheduling between the two conferences, that's less TV time and therefore less notoriety, less branding, less attention paid to other schools, which means when it's time to decide who goes in. And by the way, that's 4 guaranteed spots per conference. That doesn't mean only 4 teams per conference. They could both sneak a 5th in. We could, realistically, we could end up with a 12-team playoff that has 10 SEC Big Ten schools and 2 schools from other conferences down the line.
Well, if you look at the rankings right now, it's kind of that way already, isn't it?
I agree. But again, Ole Miss, Florida State's a good example too, but Ole Miss started off this year as a top 5 team. Is that a top 5 team? No. Why were they top 5? Why? Florida State makes sense as a top 10 team because
they were undefeated last year.
They were undefeated 13-0, and nobody thought they would have the drop that they had. Why was Ole Miss a top 5 team?
Coach?
SEC. That's it. That's it. There was nothing about them from last year to this year, with the exception of the addition of Juice Wells. There is nothing that goes, oh, now they're a top. No. SEC.
Yeah,
that's it.
The preseason polls, some of it is guessing, obviously.
Sure. I'm not saying that I didn't get a couple wrong, too. Of course I did. We all did, right? The point that I'm making here is things like that inevitably show that the system, the game is skewed. If you're an SEC fan or a Big Ten team or a Big Ten fan, you don't give a damn about this. Nobody cares about the game being skewed when the game is skewed in their favor.
Yeah, it's this whole thing is like, I don't know what the big deal is.
You don't care because it benefits you. You know who should care about this? Every Clemson fan listening right now.
Probably.
Every Clemson fan listening right now should care about this. Everyone who's not a South Carolina fan listening right now, unless you're a Big Ten or an SEC fan. If you're an ACC fan right now, you should care about this. If you're a Pac-12 fan, if you're a Big 12 fan, or if you're a fan of literally anybody else.
Did you really say Pac-12? I mean,
that is still their name.
I mean, kind of. Yeah, but
you're not the Big Ten, Lonzo. Your name's just as dumb as theirs is.
Oh, I agree.
Okay.
Look, I don't know what you're going to change it to, but they should have changed that like a decade ago.
Yeah. They've only been, at least with the Pac-12, it's like new. You guys have been the Big Ten. You've had at least 12 teams in your conference since I was a child.
Yeah, having more is kind of makes more sense than having less. It's easier to go back to the Pac-2.
No. You don't get to go, well, our number's dumb, but it's bigger, so that's better. No, it's both dumb names. The point here is,
you do if the is your thing.
If you are not a fan of an SEC or a Big Ten school, you should care about this. Because if you're not, and you do not catch an invite to one of these two conferences in like the near future, you're going to be playing a second tier of football in an entirely different organization. The first tier of sports flashers is Lonzo.
That's the way to go, you. Stop it. You're overmodulating. It's so bad.
Are you going to play the sound?
I'm waiting till you get out of the way. Leave the room. The Atlanta Braves dropped game 1 in the wild card round series against the San Diego Padres last night, 4-0. Fernando Tatis opened the scoring for the Padres with a 2-round blast in the first inning, while Padres pitcher Michael King dominated Atlanta, throwing 7 scoreless innings, striking out 12 with no walks. Atlanta tries to take game 2 tonight at 8:30. Hopefully they do, because then Rob would be wrong. Across the rest of yesterday's playoff games, the Detroit Tigers defeated the Houston Astros 3-1. The New York Mets beat the Milwaukee Brewers 8-4. The Kansas City Royals blanked the Orioles 1-0. All three game twos are this afternoon going into the night. That's how Rob wrote it. It's weird. Tune in this afternoon at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Citadel right here on your home for Paladins football, The Fan, Upstate.